Market View on Money FM 89.3.
The second half of the year might seem daunting for the average bond investor. What with ultra-low interest rates making the search for yield challenging, along with the COVID-19 pandemic blunting companies with heightened credit and solvency risks, as the potential risks. But there have been signs of things picking up for bonds that have been backstopped in some way by central banks across the world. Well, today on Money FM 89.3, I'm joined by Mr. Pierre Chartres. He's the fixed income director at MNG Investments, and he's here to share with us his outlook and how he's approaching these potential landmines and opportunities that we might not be seeing in the bond space. Pierre, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are in good health, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Pierre, let's talk first about how things have changed somewhat for bonds. In fact, the Federal Reserve, among some other central banks, has come in and decided to go ahead and buy corporate bonds based on an index that they constructed. Now, in a sense, it's almost like the Fed is telling markets, especially bond investors, hey, I've got your back amidst all of this uncertainty right now. Do you think this has been a bit of a magic wand that's wiped out most concerns for bond issuers and consequently bond investors like yourself? Or is this pretty much just a balm that's soothing the wound without really healing it?
The way I see it is it's mainly a backstop. And the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, mentioned this a few times. Really what the Fed is trying to do here by buying corporate bonds is to ensure that the transmission mechanism works between the lenders and, in this case, the corporations. You have to really put yourself in the place of the Fed. When they announced this program, you know, it was the third week of March. Equity and bond markets had collapsed already by maybe 20, 30, 40% sometimes. Liquidity had completely dried up in the bond markets, corporate and at some point even government bonds. And that's really what forced really the Federal Reserve to step in and to announce these measures. So you do have to see them as a backstop, as a percentage of the total amount of bonds. The Federal Reserve is not buying that much in relative terms. So again, their aim is to ensure the smooth transmission of the markets. And the good thing is actually just because of this announcement, markets reacted in a positive way. So they don't have to buy a lot of bonds. Just by making the announcement, it helped markets recoup some of those losses.
This liquidity seems to have gone quite a way in instilling confidence in the markets, not just in among bonds, but across asset class. But, and we have seen a bit of activity actually in the sovereign bond space also. You know, when you look at governments right now, they're faced with a conundrum. How do we raise enough money to make sure that there's stimulus moving forward? But which might mean they have to tap the sovereign bond space. But an economic downturn, Pierre, as you know, could also lead to lower tax revenues and also lower economic growth that could endanger credit ratings and their ability to service this debt. How big of a concern is this when you as a bond investor take a look at this landscape of sovereign bonds? And does this make it riskier than it's actually worth?
Yes, so you're absolutely right. It is a risk if you look at the amount of issuance that we're going to see this year in terms of government bonds. Most developed countries are going to see budget deficits of 10, 15, 20% in 2020, which means, as you pointed out, not only are their revenues going to decline, but their expenses are going to grow significantly. So we're going to see debt to GDP levels in most developed countries go, you know, increase by, as I mentioned, 20, 25% or even more. And when you think of countries like Italy, for example, or even to some extent the US, which has a debt to GDP of already over 100%, that can create issues in terms of just the absolute level of debt. Now, I do also think that we have come a long way. 10 years ago, you know, there was a book that was published by Reinhardt and Rogoff, which was called This Time is Different. And the book pointed out that when debt to GDP levels get above 90%, it starts to be a drag on growth. And so we had this decade of fiscal austerity. And I think now academics have changed their view quite a bit. So this idea that more debt automatically increases the interest burden on the country or reduces growth, it is not that that omnipresent anymore.
The thing is, too, we're also confronting a rate environment now where most places are at near zero or sometimes negative. Does this make it the natural case then for folks to probably go towards emerging markets or corporate bonds versus some of the developed counterparts at this point? Or is it a little more complicated than that?
No, that's absolutely right. We have seen really investors go from, you know, these government bonds that now yield zero or even negative levels of yield sometimes. We have had a lot of investors, such as pension funds, for example, or insurance companies, sell those government bonds and buy corporate bonds because they need the yield to match their liabilities. So we have seen, because of that, the corporate bond markets skyrocket and the amount of issuance in the corporate bond markets increase quite significantly. So you mentioned emerging markets, which is true. We have seen investors rotate more into emerging market debt to get those higher yields. And also, I think an area that has been growing is the private debt, or what we also call direct lending or alternative debt. That is an area that has been growing quite a lot recently because, again, it offers a little bit more yield than the safe haven government bonds.
Now, these higher yields, though, from emerging markets and corporate bonds might although also carry with it higher risks. Is it worth it to actually tolerate these for the higher yields? Or is at this point, as a fixed income investor, is there really no choice but to go to these if you're trying to chase yields?
There are still opportunities out there in the markets, in developed markets. Now, in terms of the bond markets, we do feel that they have rallied quite strongly over the past month. So in March, April, and May, we were adding risk to a lot of our corporate bond portfolios, for example. But now, essentially, if you really want to generate a lot of yield, you have to take a view on how the situation is going to evolve in terms of the coronavirus. So it's becoming a little bit more difficult. One thing that we have been doing in a lot of our corporate bond portfolios is having a core allocation to the safer companies, so higher quality companies, so investment grade companies, for example. They are the ones that have enough liquidity to withstand even a long-term crisis. They can also cut their dividends, for example, as we've seen, or sell some non-core assets in order to maintain solvency while we go through this crisis. So investment grade companies in sectors that are less affected, of course, healthcare, telecommunications, technology, of course. So that really is our core portfolio. And then on an opportunistic basis, we make selective, we buy selective bonds in the more vulnerable sectors. So of course, we know what they are, tourism, leisure, airlines, as well, more cyclical sectors. So this kind of core satellite approach, we think, works relatively well in today's markets.
So let's speak to Mr. Pierre Chart. He's the fixed income director at M&G Investments here on Money FM 89.3. Pierre, I do want to ask you, as we head into the second half, there's still a lot of unresolved uncertainties out there. What are some of the biggest types of fixed income risks you're most worried about, and how are you managing against these? I'm assuming liquidity is not one of them because of this deluge we've seen, but could there be more default or currency risks at the moment? What are some of the biggest thing risks that are keeping you up at night, and how are you preparing for them?
Yeah, well, actually, liquidity does remain a risk for us, not in the sense of the companies issuing bonds, but in the sense that, for the most part, we manage daily dealing funds, and that if our investors want to get their money back, then we need to sell bonds to meet those liabilities. And we saw in March, when the whole fixed income markets had huge amounts of outflows, clients wanting to get their money back, or investors deleveraging on the whole, that can create really significant stresses in the market. So liquidity risk, I would say, is still right up there for us. And of course, when you're a bond investor, it's also about default risk. Really, this is the permanent loss of capital is, of course, the main risk. And I would say liquidity and default, it will come down to how the coronavirus evolves over the next few weeks and months. I think there is still a risk, probably not as severe as what we saw in March, but any, let's say, negative news on the health front, if if the vaccine, for example, takes a lot longer than expected to be made available, we could see those risks come to the fore once again.
And finally, Pierre, I just wanted to pick your brain on this. We are seeing a number of sovereigns, for instance, that are trading at negative yields. And if I was an average bond investor, a novice, I would probably say, no thanks, I don't want negative yield at the moment. What would make you, as a bond investor, reconsider or consider possibly having a bond with a negative rate on your portfolio?
Yeah, so I guess for the, let's take Europe, because that's where really they are sure. The most prominent. A lot of investors, first of all, they need very safe assets on their balance sheets, maybe to for the management of collateral, or to to use as collateral on their derivatives position. So in that respect, an asset like a German Bund or a French OAT can really provide that service. So even if it has a negative yield, they do provide a service. And you also have to realize that, when you're a fund manager, essentially, you can't really keep the assets in cash in a bank, because the risk is that the bank essentially goes bankrupt. So as bond managers, we can't keep millions or billions of money in cash, so because of counterparty risk. So what we do is we try to find safe assets to invest them in. And again, even if we did leave our money in cash, most of our the fund custodians, they charge interest rates on those. You get negative interest rates on those. So maybe if you find an asset that has a negative yield, but less negative than what you get charged for keeping the money in cash, then it becomes attractive. And finally, a final point is you can also make money with an asset that has a negative yield if the yield becomes even more negative. So you can make a capital gain that would offset that negative yield.
Mr. Pierre Schott, Fixed Income Director at MNG Investments. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to join us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk bonds. We wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time you can join us again. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, JP.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.